Welcome to Alive Christian Ministries Sunday morning service. We hope that you'll be blessed by all that we present. My name is Phil. I'm one of the leaders of Alive. If you're joining us for the first time, we pray that this will be a blessed time for you. If you're part of our congregation, we pray that you'll continue to enjoy all that we are presenting in Jesus' name.
Stop the Lord Almighty. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord?
Our God is the Lion, the Lion of Judah. He's
As we begin our service, we continue to uphold in prayer all those people working in the health service and in the caring professions at this challenging time. And we just continue to hope and pray that God will be with them and also with all those who are in hospital at this time. Father God, I just thank you for everybody working in the NHS and in the caring professions. I thank you, Lord, for their selflessness and their ability to keep going in these challenging times. I pray, Father God, that they will be given all the equipment they need and will be given the support they need to continue in their vital work. Thank you, Lord, for them. I just pray a real blessing upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Son of God.
Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so that they did not know him. And he said to them,
What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?
Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered,
Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?
What things?
The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him, they did not see.
Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?
And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him.
Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.
And now you can see why Zacharias said, Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.
And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together.
The Lord is risen.
Amen.
Today, for the first time since lockdown began, we are going to break bread together. This is, of course, a great privilege in any Christian community, and it is based very much on what Jesus himself said in Scripture. I'm just going to read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And then he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. The Christians have been doing this ever since, and it's one of our great celebrations of the reality of what Jesus did for us. By eating the bread and drinking the wine, we're remembering his fantastic sacrifice, which resulted in salvation. All Christians are encouraged to share in this, and if you're listening to us today and you know and love the Lord Jesus, you'd be very welcome to join with us as we partake of this special meal. So, we're going to take bread and we're going to break it, giving thanks to the Lord. And as we eat of this together, we are virtually together, even in this challenging time. So I pray that as we eat, we'll all be blessed. And we also remember that Jesus commanded us to drink of the cup. And we remember that this represents Christ's blood, which he shed for us on the cross. So as we drink this, we do that in remembrance of him. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the privilege of breaking bread. And I pray that we as a fellowship, as we break bread together today, will be blessed and encouraged. And I pray, Lord, that in every respect, we'll be drawn closer and closer to you. Amen.
We Luke 24, verses 15 to 35. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning themselves. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening, the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told us what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
On the road to Emmaus, two disciples were walking. They were despondent. They'd had a really, really tough time, worse than they'd ever possibly imagined. The man who they'd been following for 3 years had been brutally murdered. And they just wanted to leave Jerusalem. They wanted to get away from the scene where it all happened. So they decided it would be a good opportunity for them to leave the city. They were going towards Emmaus. We don't know exactly where Emmaus was. The name itself means spring, natural spring or something like that. But there are a number of possible options. However, we do know that it was within walking distance of Jerusalem, so it wasn't a huge distance. But it was almost like they just wanted to get away. What do we feel like that? Do we feel like that today? Would we like to just walk away from where we are? Would we like to walk away from relentless news coverage about coronavirus? Would we like to walk away from other responsibilities? Would we like to walk away from our anxieties and our concerns? Do we feel despondent? Do we feel just down because things are not happening in the normal sort of way? I'm sure that's how these disciples felt. And they were probably also quite confused because obviously Jesus had been teaching so powerfully. He'd brought in miracles that they couldn't explain. Lazarus had been risen from the dead. So many great things that happened. People have been healed. Even in the last week in Jerusalem, people have been healed. So what had happened? What had gone wrong? Why was this great leader who did such wonderful things being killed? How did that happen? What was the cause? They were just bemused. And I suspect they were angry. Angry at God, but probably also angry at Jesus. They probably felt betrayed. They probably felt, well, all that he was saying to us, we just didn't understand. Why did this happen? So that was probably their frame of mind. They were leaving the scene, they were getting away, and they just wanted to leave it all behind. And I think sometimes we are in that same frame of mind. But what happened is a lesson to us. First of all, they were surprised by this stranger. Now, often in the resurrection stories, there is this lack of recognition. People do not immediately think, oh, that's Jesus. And I think, going back to the earlier resurrection stories, it's because they were clouded, that their last memory was of a broken, destroyed body. When they saw the risen Christ had been physically raised, but also transformed by the power of God. He was the same Christ, but he was a different Christ. He was the resurrected Christ. So it's not a huge surprise that they didn't recognize this guy. But even in their anger, even in their despair, they were willing to listen, and they were willing to hear what this person was going to say to them. I think their frame of mind was such that they needed something to replace the anguish, to replace the despair that was in their hearts. So when this stranger came along and said to them, well, I don't understand, why don't you understand what's happened? Did you not understand what was written in Scripture? Did you not understand that the Christ must die? Did you not understand that all these things were foretold? And it was almost like a light gradually dawning in their mind as they followed this, as they walked with this stranger on the road down to Emmaus, approximately 7 miles, so plenty of time to have that sort of full conversation. They were almost like empty vessels that were gradually being refilled. God was speaking to them. God was filling in the blanks. God was reinforcing the messages that Jesus had already spoken to them through all his teaching, and was explaining to them, look, this is how it should be. This is what Scripture said. This is what was always planned. God knew that coronavirus was going to appear. God knew this was going to strike us in 2020. It should be a comfort. It should be something to be encouraged that God knew, because he is going to work through this. He is going to come into more and more people's lives, and indeed already is. People are turning to religious and Christian messages more and more, not by the hundred, not by the thousand, but by the million. People are seeking God in a new and powerful way, and this is what we should look forward to. This is what we should see God's purposes and plans in the weeks and months ahead. Going back to these two guys walking down the road, I say two guys, only one guy is mentioned. The other person could be a woman, but that person isn't actually mentioned, just Cleophas. So we just need to be politically correct and say these two people were walking down the road to Emmaus. They were listening. They were allowing themselves to be taught by this stranger. And it must have been an inspiring conversation, because when they got to where they were going to stay, the stranger indicated they were going to move on. And they said, no, stay with us. Stay with us. Keep talking to us. Keep filling us. We were empty, and now we're feeling a bit full up again. Do we feel empty? If we feel empty, perhaps we should allow God to speak to us. Perhaps we should allow God to come more and more into our lives. Perhaps we should just sit back and allow God to speak. As I'm sitting here, I can hear birds. As I'm sitting here, I can see the beauty of God's creation. And that's something which I don't do very often. Quite often, you run around, you're busy, you're doing this, then this. You don't have the opportunity to just listen and just allow God to come into. God's creation is glorious. God's creation is beautiful. And in the stillness and in the beauty, he is talking to us even now. He wants to fill us up. He wants to take us away from the dark into the light. He wants to show us that he is working powerfully. And the strangers just sat and they continued to talk. And then the light
burst because they broke bread. And for whatever reason, that was the trigger, that was the point in their lives when they suddenly realized the stranger was no stranger at all, but was actually the Lord Jesus. Millions of people in the world do not know the Lord Jesus today. He's a stranger in their lives. But the encouraging thing is that if they seek after him, if they listen to him, if they spend time with him, if they open their hearts to him, he will cease to be a stranger and he will become the Saviour. And that is something which we all would hope for our friends, for our relatives and everyone, that they would come to know the Lord Jesus. When this couple, walking down to Emmaus, suddenly realised that Jesus was in fact with them, the light bulb went on and they suddenly realised everything that this person had said to them was true. Jesus' explanation, his working through scripture, showed them that there was no need to despair. Life was going to go on in a more glorious way. And they just got excited. Because they were going back. They're going to go back to the disciples. They're going to go back to Jerusalem. And they're going to say, the Lord has risen. Never mind what was being said in the eager excitement on Easter Day when people were running around saying the tomb was empty and everything else. He's definitely back. He has returned. And he has returned more excitingly, more powerfully than ever before. And immediately on from the scripture, Jesus came and joined them in the upper room. Away went the fear. Away went the anxiety. And instead, light and revelation came. As we continue this Easter time and looking forward to Pentecost, let us just remember that Jesus came and brought light out of the darkness, out of the despair, out of the concern that arose from the crucifixion. Light returned into the world. And that today particularly should be an encouraging thought to us all. I have obviously, like everybody else, been following all the news reports and all the various concerns about when lockdown is going to end, what does social distancing means, and how we're going to do this, how we're going to do that. I think we as a church just need to sort of allow God to be God in this circumstance. We cannot intellectualize our way out of this. We cannot know exactly how things are going to happen. One thing about disease is that it is something which is very unpredictable. It is part of the human condition. It is certainly part of the reality of the world under condemnation following the fall. But we also know that in that same world, Jesus came, he lived, he taught, he died, and he rose again in power to sit at the right hand of the Father, where he now sits. And that, regardless of everything, should be and continue to be a massive encouragement to us all. So on this second Sunday after Easter, when we have broken bread together, when we have joined together as a community of God's people, we should be reminded that we were joined by him, and we continue to be joined by him, that he continues to bless us, that he continues to work with us, and that he continues to encourage us. I pray over the days and weeks ahead, we will together share testimonies about how God is speaking to us and how God will be using us in the weeks ahead. I pray that we as a church will have opportunities to touch the community more and more, because we have met the Lord. And I pray that more and more people, when they walk on their journey, will encounter the risen Christ, and that through that, they will have hope restored in their lives. Father God, on this special day, on this day when we celebrate your resurrection, on this day when we celebrate all that you meant to your disciples, And on this day, when we can look forward knowing that you are still there on the throne, I pray that we will be guided by you, that we'll be encouraged by you, and the light which you brought in the world, which will get stronger and stronger in all the darkness that seems to surround us. In Jesus' name, amen. And now we shall go to our final worship song.
Into your hands I commit again all I am for you, Lord. You hold my world in the palm of your hand, and I am yours for Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing. You're the reason that I
singing when the evening comes.
strength is failing, the end draws near, and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship His holy name.
As we come towards the end of our service today, I pray that you'll have a blessed week. I pray the Lord will be close to you at all times and in these challenging times. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, today and forevermore. Amen. So, all my best wishes for the week ahead, and be assured that everyone that's alive continues to pray for those who are in difficulty working in the NHS, or otherwise affected by coronavirus. And if you need anything or require anything that we can help you with, then please feel free to contact us through our website and other social media platforms.